You're listening to the WTA Insider Podcast. Ready? Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. I'm Courtney Nguyen, senior writer for WTA Insider at WTATennis.com, and I'll be your host on this podcast, where we take you closer to the players and all the action on the WTA Tour. We're just 1 week into the 2017 season, and we already have a brand new world number one. In a fun twist of rankings math, Bethany Mattek-Sands will take over the number one ranking from Sonia Mirza on Monday, ending Mirza's 91-week reign at the top spot. Mattek-Sands and Mirza agreed to partner up for the Brisbane International back in October after the WTA Finals in Singapore, and the top seeds took care of business, beating number two seeds Elena Vesnina and Ekaterina Makarova to win the title in Brisbane. In the strangest of twists, had Mirza and Mattek-Sands lost the final, Sonia would have retained her number one ranking. But as Sonia and Bethany explained after the match, it was far more awkward for those of us on the outside of their partnership and friendship. As Mirza said on court, if she couldn't be number one, she definitely wanted her best friend Bethany to wear the crown.
I was really thinking about it.
I mean, contrary to what people believe, like, we don't actually check rankings every, you know, like, we don't do it. Like, yeah, we don't really do that. Like, I don't, at least, and I know she doesn't. And, no, I mean, we actually decided to play right after Singapore. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was not like we were thinking.
I think because we both knew our partners were not
playing. Yeah, we're not playing this week. So, it didn't. The thing is, as tennis players, I think that, I mean, sure, we want to be number one in the world and we want to get there, but I've been there for a very, very long time. And, you know, and the thing is, even if I won every week till Australian Open, I was still probably going to lose my ranking. So I don't think it mattered as much if I was number one for 91 or 92 weeks, you know. But I think the most important thing for every tennis player is to win tournaments, and that's what we tried to do. And, yeah, and we got in. I actually found out, like, from Twitter that was going to happen, like, in the midweek. And, you know, regardless of that, we still want to win the title.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I mean, we'll go next week and we'll try and win the title again. That's
we're
just how it works. Yeah.
I mean, I want to win every match I go out on the court to play. I mean, I have a lot of fun with, you know, whether I'm playing with Sonia or Lucy or Jack or Mike and Bob, like, it's, you know, it's a lot of fun, but at the same time, you want to go away the winner.
Was there any awkwardness whatsoever as you got closer to
I mean, it's really awkward because they're not that good of friends. So,
actually, none at all. Like, I mean, honestly, like, I mean, maybe if I would have never been number one and she would have never been number one and we were both, like, going for, you know, like, and one of us was going to become, like, maybe, like, we would have thought about it more. But I think it's, like, hard for people to understand, like, where I'm coming from. Like, it's been almost 2 years that I've been number one. And for me, it's very important to win tournaments. And I feel that if you win tournaments, everything else follows, like, numbers follow. So whether we win this week, I mean, if, you know, if we're that close to each other and whoever's having a good year, I mean, I was happy to finish number one 2 years in a row. For me, that was a huge achievement. And I mean, like, what kind of records? There's a record in everything, you know. So I just want to try and I'm playing Sydney and I want to try and win that and see where it goes from there. So
just like that. And it's, I mean, Sonia and I, like she said in the interview, we play once a year. We've done pretty well considering we've won the last three tournaments we've played.
Yeah,
so why not?
Well, it's not because we don't want to. I think, like, we've had great
results
seasons
with other
with
people.
Our other partners. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, stop in the middle when you're kind of doing well with someone else. And it's not for a fact that we don't want to play.
But, like, last year we kind of spoke about it and we're like, okay, so the weeks that Barbara and Lucy aren't playing, let's play together.
Yeah.
So that's how this worked out. And maybe if, you know, it works out in the year. Yeah.
Year,
I mean, it'll probably happen. It'll be nice. I mean, we have a lot of fun, but, like, I mean, obviously, but we also have fun off the court and we're obviously very good friends, and so it's really nice to play with someone that you get along so well with.
Yeah,
Bethany, it was tough for you, I think, to put words together.
I know. I actually, that kind of took me by surprise. I don't shed too many tears. Actually, the last time I did was at French Open. I was with Sonia. I was like, this is the last time I'm crying over a tennis match, and Sonia was there. But, yeah.
I was in the locker room, and I was like, are you crying because you lost a tennis match? Don't do that.
Like,
course she's like, don't go that low. I was like, don't go that low. Like, it's a tennis match. She's like, that's the last time.
Give me 1 minute and I'm done.
But yeah.
These are good tears.
Yeah. So it was, it took me by surprise, but it was really, it's something that, I mean, I'm the person that really, I lose track of score during matches. I've celebrated early, and I've also not realized I've won matches. And so I think it just kind of hit me when I actually kind of got announced as being number one. You know, you really, it is in the back of your mind, but, you know, I didn't want to think about it, you know, too much during the tournament. And so I think it just kind of all hit me there at the end. But, you know, I'm really excited about it. I mean, it's something that no one can take away from you, and you know, it's
I think it's special when you win the tournament and become number one too. I think it's really special. Like, I had that, and
Charleston,
I think
Charleston,
and I feel that. like that's the best way to do it. Like, I could have probably become number one if I just went on in Rome, because, you know, people were losing points and stuff, but it's so good to, like, actually go and get it,
be the champion.
And it feels really good, and I mean I'm so happy for, like I said, I'm so happy for her to achieve that as well. And I feel, you know, obviously if not me, then her. So
a lot of the talk now on the tour is about majors and about titles, but the number one has perhaps lost its luster, at least it's talked about in a less important way.
I don't think it is. I think it's just, you, when you have some players that stay number one for a long time, then, like, you can't always talk about number one. If Serena is number one for a long time, I mean, Sonya just has been number one for 2 years. You know, it is a coveted spot, and not a lot of people, it's not like there's been 10 number ones in the last couple years. So I think it is a coveted position, but, you know, you can't, there's just not a lot of people getting there. So you have to, there's more title winners a year than there are number ones. So it's just more to talk about it. But I don't think that takes away being number one in any capacity.
I mean, I think as children, we all dream of being number one. I mean, any child that you speak to, they want to be number one at what you do. I mean, in anything, it's great to be number one in your class in school, you know, like, so to be number one in the world at what you do is a very amazing, it's like the most amazing feeling. And and I think that, like, whoever gets to that number one deserves it, regardless of whether they win a slam or they don't win a slam. I think they deserve it because they've been consistent for the whole year or 2 years or whatever. So I think winning tournaments is very important. That's how you're going to get to number one, you know. But, I mean, like, for me, winning a tournament is extremely important. But am I going to be shattered that I lost my number one? No, but I'll try and get it back, you know, because that's the goal at the end of the day. You're always trying to be the best at what you're doing.
What is it? Can you process it at all, then? You're the best at what you do.
I know, it's pretty cool, like, in the world. I think we kind of, I don't want to say shove it off to the side a little bit, because we're around great players all the time. I mean, I'm around top 10 players. I'm playing with someone number one. So you just, you know, you kind of, you just don't think about it. I think, you know, I mean, ask me tomorrow, maybe. I'm definitely going to have a shot of tequila tonight and let it sink in. So, yeah. I mean, I'll be asleep, but I feel like it'll help my butt cheek recover.
After their rollicking press conference, and trust me, there were some choice tidbits I had to leave on the cutting room floor, I sat down with Bethany to see if she could find some words to describe this tremendous achievement. As is every casual chat with a 31-year-old Minnesota native, it was a free-ranging and very funny conversation.
Well, I am here with the new world number one, Bethany Maddox-Sands, champion here at the Brisbane International, now world number one, displacing Sonya Mirza, who was there for 91 weeks. I rarely, very rarely see you speechless.
I know. I know, I'm going to talk a lot. I know.
But we're going to
always have something witty to say.
Yeah.
You know what was funny about that is when Sonia was doing her speech afterwards, like before I started talking or not talking, if you want to say, she was like, I feel like I was handing over like a Miss like World crown over to you. And I was like, yeah, that was actually kind of how it felt. But, you know, we kind of knew this a couple days ago. I think I would have been number one even after a semifinal win, but... Oh, someone's shaking their head like I wasn't going to be. But regardless, I wanted to win this event. Sonia and I had won it in 2013. Mm-hmm. I saw it on the trophy today. Yeah. And obviously, when you walk down the Wall of Fame here, the Hall of Fame, you see your picture up on the wall. But, no, I mean, it feels amazing. It's something that you think of when you're a little kid is being number one. And I think when you finally get there... it's going to take a little bit to sink in, but it's really special. And at the same time, you know, it goes on. Like, I'm not ending right now. Like, this is the first week of the season, so it's
you got to get back to work.
I know. Like, I get a couple days off, and then I'm playing in Melbourne. So, you know, it's really, you know, we're out there because we love playing tennis, and we're all competitors. And you know, I'm playing next to champions every day. I mean, you know, I played Vesnina and Makarova mm-hmm. in the year-end championships. I had a chance to be number one at the end of the year and lost to them. So, you know, that was a little bit in the back of my head, I think, going into this match. But you know, I go out there because I love to play tennis. I love to compete. Anyone who's known me since I've been little, I mean, it's how I've always been. I mean, whether it was a game of Monopoly or Candyland when I was little.
You're one of those.
Yeah, my sister actually let me win because she was like, it was worse if I won. Like, I'd rather you win so we could still be friends. So
that's a sign of the great champions, though, is that, you know, great champions, it's not even about the winning. It's the hating to lose, you know? Like, I talk to you guys all the time after you lose. You're terrible.
I know.
But
it's something I've actually worked on, because to be a great champion, I think you've got to learn how to lose as well. And I think that's one of the things I've improved a lot over the years. I remember 5 years ago, maybe, you couldn't talk to me for a couple days after a loss because I'd just be so upset about it. And not that I love losing now all of a sudden, but I think I've learned to really get out of, learn some things from my losses versus just getting down on myself. And I think that's even helped me now sitting here being number one in the world. I think it's a big part of it. And it's still, I won't lie, though. I there's still things with... Even with my husband, I want to win everything.
Yeah.
Before we got married, we did a tally of all the different sports that I would win. And Ooh. It was like basketball, I'd win.
She beat you in basketball? Justin's right here. She beat you in basketball?
I'm a terrible hooper.
So I call, I'm like anything with a racket. I'm like ping pong, badminton, squash, anything rackets. I mean, baseball, I feel like I'd...
Easy there.
No. I mean, really, eye hand coordination, I dominate. So, but I mean, Justin's a lot bigger than me, so he wins in.
But then, so do you guys often compete? Like, do you play video? I think of video games.
If she gets in the bed and the light's still on, we have to play Rochambeau just to see who has to get out of bed.
I know. Wait, but who's the Rochambeau champion?
Like, oh, for a second.
You've never turned off a light.
Basically, no. The only thing is he's willing to sleep with the lights on. So then I...
Yeah, there you go.
Then I'm out of
you're
luck.
Stuck.
So, yeah. But no, I mean, again, I'm back to, I don't even know what we were talking about. We kind of went off on a tangent there.
Competitors. Yeah, competitors. And that's one of the big things, too. I mean, obviously, you were on the single circuit for a long time and then kind of transitioned more full time to doubles. I mean, your evolution as a player and everything and being a person on the tour, talk about that a little bit and this kind of the decision to really kind of go all in a lot of ways in doubles. And it's, you know, absolutely paid off.
Yeah, I think, there was a year or two where I actually wasn't playing doubles and I was only playing singles, and it was more so because I kind of had to decide health-wise. I couldn't do both, and you know, kudos to a lot of those players that are doing both. And obviously, I'm still playing singles. Mm-hmm. I'm going out to Melbourne to play qualifying there, but it's a lot, and I feel my training for singles has actually helped me a lot in doubles. Mm-hmm. I don't actually practice a ton of doubles with Lucy. I feel like with most of my partners, we're really good friends. We have really good communication on and off the court. And I think that's one thing that makes up for actual practice hours right. on the court. And I think training, keeping my singles game up is always going to help the doubles. I mean, you're moving more, you're playing more points. You know, I think all the double sets pay off a little bit. But I still love both. I mean, I'm still going to be playing all three events at Australian Open. I'll be playing singles. I'll be playing doubles with Lucy and then mixed doubles with Mike Bryan. So nice. I'm really excited. Obviously, you're pretty busy at the Slams when you're playing all three events. But the way I look at it is, you know, this is the reason I train, is to give myself a chance to win these big events. And I'm all in. I'm kind of one of those people that's all in, or like I go big or I go home.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you're wearing a T-shirt. I'm reading it right now. I'm the hero of this story, which is an awesome T-shirt. I'm going to ask you where you got it after this. But, you know, talk about your last 12 months. You know, I mean, it's been heady. I remember, you know, tuning into your Facebook, you know, kind of thank you to the fans after the Olympics with the gold medal and everything, and just all the success with Lucy when it wasn't clear there would be, because she was, you know, feeling ill and stuff. Finger broken or whatever, you know, after the French Open. A lot of adversity in the last 12 months. That has to impact how you see kind of this achievement.
For sure. And I feel like one thing that I've really kind of changed my perspective a little bit is enjoying the moment more. I think we get so caught up in thinking of the future and the next tournament, or even second guessing the past. Like if I hadn't broken my finger, if Lucy hadn't been sick. And I think that kind of takes away from really enjoying the moment and doing your best. Because I read a quote saying the best way to have a great future is making a great present. And it's true. And so I've really worked on diving into staying in the moment, and that's helped me, you know, come back in matches that I've been down. And I mean, in the finals of US Open, Lucy and I were pretty much out of it. I mean, we were a game away from losing that match, and we fought back and we came back. And you know, the last 12 months, wow, I mean, it was the most tennis I've ever played in my career, which is cool. At 31, that was the most amount of matches I've played. That's the most amount of traveling I've done. So I feel like I'm a fine wine getting better with age.
I love it. I would agree with that.
I'm an añejo tequila.
Sounds real. I appreciate that. Yes, absolutely. Smoke. Anyways, I can keep going on a tangent on that, but I won't. So, I mean, being number one, and obviously this is only a few hours after all this has happened, but it involves a level of kind of ambassadorship and leadership a little bit. You know, and obviously you have been a leader in the locker room before, obviously with your work on the player council and all these sorts of things. But do you think about that at all? Like, in kind of like you're supposed to be like the spokesperson for doubles now.
I know. I got to be a responsible adult. Wow.
I didn't say that.
You're like, whoa.
Let's not take it too far.
Simmer down now, Bethany. No, I think it's, you know, I take the responsibility fully, because, you know, I love coming off the court and seeing that I've been an inspiration. I love hearing those stories. I love getting those texts. I mean, I read Twitter, I read Facebook comments, and, you know, for me, when I hear someone's inspired by my comebacks or inspired by my work ethic or anything, you know, even being 31 and coming back from hip surgeries and things like that, and it's cool to hear the stories that it's inspired other people to do things in their lives. And I think that's one of the biggest impacts that we can make as athletes. I mean, we're put in the limelight, and I think it's important to keep your personality. I think that's a big part of it, not trying to be something that you're not, but at the same time recognizing that you can have an impact in a good way to the younger generation, just even your peers and things like that. And I think that the bigger scheme of life is a lot more important than some tennis matches.
Perfect. Well, congratulations, Beth.
Thanks.
Go get that añejo.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. And we'll see you in Melbourne.
Awesome. Thanks.
No worries. And that's a wrap on this episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or on any podcast app of your choice to ensure you never miss an episode when they go live. Reviews are always helpful, so if you like what you've heard so far, please do leave us one. They mean a lot. You can also get new episode alerts by following us on Twitter at WTA_insider. And we'll, of course, post the podcast on the WTA website at WTATennis.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.